Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Indeed, it's time for political commentary. We've got David Slack on the line. Morena, David.
How are you?
Morena, Rosetta, Emily. I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, fabulous. That's what we like to hear.
Never better.
Never better. Oh. How good. Ka pai. We're talking a little bit about it's Tuiki o Te Reo Māori, and it's an interesting political climate for Tuiki o Te Reo Māori this year, isn't it? It's 50 years, and we've got this government who have mixed feelings about Te Reo Māori.
Now, do they ever? Man, you make a very good point. 50 years, that's an awful lot of progress and constructive collaboration and exploration and revival of something precious. It's been bloody wonderful. And why in the hell would you strangle that? It beggars belief. And I wrote something for this on Sunday called "What Were They Thinking?" Mm-hmm. Which is sort of exploring some of the foundational argument that ACT likes to use to justify doing what it is, what it has been, to essentially undermine and undo a whole lot of that 50 years of good work. Well, I call it 50 years, but that's only in terms of relatively recent renaissance. It has been, from the time of the signing of Te Tiriti, much work, much earnest effort by some of the parties, some of the time, all those years. You had court hearings happening all the way from 1840 to here, because the actions that had been taken were appeared to be contrary to the intention of the treaty, and so into court we would go. And so, you know, this thing has never, the flame has never gone out, is what I'm trying to say. And so what I was talking about was what the treaty set out to do, and how it's been misinterpreted now, and how ACT like to say, oh, here's what they were saying in 1840, and here's what they were meaning to do, and that's all it means. And the argument I was making was that in pitching it the way they have, they've kind of done the same thing that certain right-wing elements in America have been doing over the last few decades, which is to take a quite simplistic approach to the Constitution.
Rewrite history a little bit.
Well, cherry pick the evidence and restrict the argument to saying what did they mean then. And so they will. This is in when we talk about it in American terms, we talk about originalism, and so it's an approach that says you just ask what did the people specifically intend when they did that then, what would ordinary citizens have understood the text to mean then, because the argument goes, if you just keep your questions to what did they intend and what did they understand it to mean, you don't make it possible for people to bring in their personal political agendas, because this is what ACT thinks. And I'm conflating the two here, and that's deliberate. ACT is taking that same approach in looking at the treaty and saying, when in the 1980s you had the Court of Appeal holding that a principle of partnership existed, and it developed a whole lot of legal doctrine around that, saying this was they've injected something in there. That's not what they meant at the time. And what I argue against that is that when you're making these sort of arrangements, whether it's the US Constitution or a treaty between two peoples in 1840, you understand that you're not going to be here 100 years from now or 200 years from now. Mm. But the intention of this is to make an arrangement that works for that amount of time. And it's I can give it a nice little thought experiment illustration by saying, let's say that we all decide today that we want to make an agreement about the political commentary slot on BFM. We want it to be here in 100 years' time. Because we think it's a cool thing to do, that you have people coming on and talking about the politics in between some bangers. And so you make some ground rules for it to make sure that it hangs around. But yeah. You would not, for instance, write down the Sting needs to have a strangled trumpet sound to it. It does not need to mention Ashburton. You know, you don't get that specific. You very deliberately say there must be a chance for people who dig politics to talk about it for 20 minutes on a Thursday, and they probably don't say a Thursday, but you might say once a week. But you see where I'm going, don't you? You make sure that what you write is very broad. Yeah. And so if people then come back later and say, oh, they didn't say anything about this, so they can't have imagined a partnership, or they would have mentioned a partnership. No, that's a wrong way to look at it. It's saying, wherever we are in 100 or 200 years' time, what we want is for this arrangement to endure and to be strong. And there is absolutely no doubt that when the treaty was written, and I've written a book about it, in fact, bloody 25 years ago, and I spent a lot of time examining, the context at the time, how many people were here, and that is tens of thousands of Maori and fewer than 2,000 colonizers. Now, what kind of a power arrangement would you call that? Would you say that the 2,000 colonizers would be calling all the shots and saying, this is all you'll get, buddy? Of course not. Now, the whole thing was very different then. But what they could see, and what they could see in London, or at least social reformers could see in London, was we can't be exploiting or ruining the lives of people in countries we're going into in the way that we have been. We're going to make sure that there's a proper arrangement here, and we're going to sign a treaty with the native peoples of this country, and we're going to make sure that it works. That's what it was all about. And if that isn't some kind of a partnership, I'm a Dutchman. That's exactly what it was thinking of. It was thinking of a partnership for the shared enjoyment of this place. And, 50 years of enjoying and exploring Te Reo is a perfect illustration of that. That's where we had been going for several decades now. And then you get people like the ACT Party saying, oh no, we don't like this. We want to say that we're all one New Zealand, which is actually just exclusionary and self-serving, and saying the way I do it is the way I want everyone to do it. That's not partnership. That's not respect, and that's not constructive, and that's not creating an opportunity for a shared existence to flourish. And that's what's been so wrong about the Treaty Principles Bill, and about the bullshit way that ACT has misrepresented equity and co-governance, and Chris Luxon is equally culpable on that count. All about this is making room for everybody so that we flourish. And why the hell would you not want that?
Yeah,
I haven't had so many jokes today, but I get quite pissed off about it, to be honest.
No, quite rightly, yeah. The state of it all, eh? I mean, yeah, I can't help but feel as though there's a lot beyond just this current government and ACT and National that has a long way to go in terms of New Zealand politics and Te Reo Māori. Like, we spoke to Chris Hipkins yesterday, and we opened the corridor with Kei te pehea koe, and he responded, yeah, I'm well, thanks.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Well, yeah, is it? It's like, are we making enough of an effort with Te Reo Māori across the board?
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about that earlier this week, and various of us, this was people who'd come to dinner, and various of us who've been on night school efforts to do it were all saying the same thing. You know, you noticed how many of the people in the class were actually new immigrants here, Indian and Chinese, and it is almost as though there's more of a curiosity and a will to get involved from people who are the newest New Zealanders than from people who've grown up here and been at ease with the preeminence of what is the hegemonic culture. And I grew up in that, you know. I had a couple of teachers when I was just sort of 12, 13, who were not by any means activist or radical, but they were both Maori, and they were both very quietly determined to expose us to more of an understanding than we had. And this is in rural bloody New Zealand, which is, you know, reactionary and conservative and conformist. And that gave me a really great perspective that I wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. And that kind of stayed with me. And then when I was working in the Prime Minister's office, it was at the time of exactly the Lands decision and the Court of Appeal developing this whole treaty principles jurisprudence. And so I got involved in writing speeches for the PM about that and got to know an awful lot more about it and got to know a lot of experts, expert here, a lot of expert opinion about it, and that really helped me see things in a fresh way. And in due course, I wrote that book, Bullshit, Backlash and Bleeding Hearts. Which, and the whole idea, and I say all of that by way of saying, I really thought when I wrote that book that it felt as though things were changing, that things were developing. But then you'll go a few months and then some issue will blow up and you'll realise, no, nobody heard any of that. Nobody accepted any of that. And the years go on and the same thing keeps happening and you realise, Jesus Christ, you can try and lay it all out. You can see people nodding their heads, but when it all blows up afresh, you find that they haven't actually moved a step from where they were to begin with, and that is really discouraging. Now, against that, you do have, it feels to me, our kids have grown up with much more of a fluency or at least an exposure to te reo, and that has been helpful, and that's changing things. But God, it grinds slow. It really grinds slow.
But that's the thing, is like we were talking about having that kind of forward thinking in the people in power. And wouldn't you rather in 200 years have a bilingual nation that hopefully has a better understanding of one another?
Hell yeah.
You know?
Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want the richness that comes with that? Every different language has different ways of describing and seeing the world. That's inherent to a language. And so the more of them you know, the more ways you have of seeing and describing the world.
Yeah.
And the better we understand this place, the better we understand each other, the more joy we get out of it. Why would you not want that, you know?
100%. We have run out of time, but thank you so much for having accorded all with us this morning, David. Always lovely to hear from you.
We'll talk in a while.
You're going travelling, no. So have an awesome time.
Have fun.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Ka kite.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.